We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, time for our weekly chat with one of the greatest football insiders of all time, the Hall of Famer, the great John Clayton. Braddock's Own, brought to you by your local Nissan dealers. All right, John, so Ben Roethlisberger self-reports. He tests positive Saturday for COVID, but we know he's vaccinated. So what needs to happen in order for him to play Sunday against the Chargers? And is there enough time for him to check those boxes and get on the field Sunday night?
Good question. I think what it comes down to is, because he has been vaccinated, is that he's just got to get two negative tests to cut it down from 10 games, because, you know, getting one on Saturday, you know, puts him in a bad spot, because now what you're talking about is that it could keep it past for that second game. But he needs to, get a couple of negative tests, and if they can do that, then he's going to be able to play. But right now, that hasn't happened. Now, certainly, he's still in that middle phase right now, so you can't get there because, again, we're only talking from Saturday until Wednesday. But, starting on Thursday or Friday, if he can start getting some negative tests, then he can be available. But if not, then he's going to miss the game.
What about Joey Bosa? Is he an unvaccinated player, to your understanding? And if so, does that make it pretty much a done deal that he's not going to play in this game?
I don't think he's going to be able to play because, again, they put him on the list,
yesterday.
Tuesday. Yeah, so Tuesday. So I don't think he's going to be able to go. So I think he's going to be out, and Tillery's going to be out. So, yeah, they're affected. And, again, it's like I'm just amazed at the number of players that continue to be positive tests or on the COVID list. I mean, it continues to grow. I mean, we're over, like, at about 250 players right now from the beginning of training camp and all that stuff. 250 players, imagine that. And, again, we're seeing, you know, maybe 5 to 8 players each day being added to the list.
What is the NFL doing about that, John?
Putting him on the waiver wire. That's it. I mean, what can you do?
I wasn't sure if there's anything you've heard behind the scenes, an adjustment to policy or protocol or anything they were doing to try to get more, to try to get those numbers down. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, again, the teams have to do it. It's not. I mean, the league. I mean, you only have a limited number of people in the league office to be able to handle that.
Mm-hmm.
They have to handle the policy, but it's up to the teams to be able to enforce it and make sure that the players are not going to test positive. So it's like, this is not a league thing. I mean, the league puts the protocols. In fact, what's the thing that they're going to do in the next week is even make it a little bit more enforceable, because they realize Thanksgiving can be a tough time, you know, to try to enforce things. And so it's like, it's up to the teams to be able to do it, not the league.
John, in general, when you look at the Steelers, the injuries, it looks like they dodged a major bullet with T.J. Watt not being a serious injury. But you look at them and you take stock of their schedule moving forward. How do you view them as a 5-3-1 team right now and their chances moving forward here?
Well, I mean, losing to Detroit is embarrassing.
Well, tying. I know, we've all said loss all week
it
because
it feels
of the
like
Lions.
One, John.
Yeah, it is. I mean, that's awful. I mean, they're the worst team in football. To have a tie like that is just ridiculous. But remember, when the season started, you know, they had the toughest schedule in the National Football League.
Mm-hmm.
So a 570 schedule based on last year's records. And so it's like 570 plus. And so it's like you knew the schedule was going to be very difficult because, you know, the AFC North had the toughest schedule of any division in the National Football League. And so now, I mean, and of course, nobody anticipated that Cincinnati was going to have a winning record at this stage, so that made things even tougher. So what it comes down to is that they've got to do it. But again, it's like it's so difficult when you don't have. And I know you don't agree with this, but again, without Ben Roethlisberger, it limits their chances of being successful. I mean, that's why Ben was so important.
Oh no, John, let me Let me suggest to you that after watching Mason Rudolph slog through things against the Lions, I did gain a greater appreciation of Ben than I had put forth to that point in this season. I hope that they have been disabused as a franchise of the notion that Mason Rudolph can be the starter after this season if Ben is done, because that was one of the worst games I've ever seen, and Rudolph was a huge part of it.
Yeah, and again, it's like, I've not been the biggest Mason Rudolph guy. I mean, and it's not that, Mason Rudolph's a bad person or anything else, but he's a backup quarterback. Mm-hmm. If you go from a Hall of Fame quarterback to a backup quarterback, there's going to be a major drop-off. And you saw that major drop-off with what he did against a bad team in Detroit.
John Clayton is our guest right now. We're talking football with him. It's brought to you by Salem Market. So, along with the backup quarterback discussion regarding Rudolph, there was also an NFL Network report that he was looking at his phone in the pregame warmups. Now I'm talking about Dwayne Haskins. He was not taking it seriously. And Steelers coaches told NFL Network, look at this guy. He's lollygagging around. He's not showing maturity. He's not taking this promotion, being the backup for this game instead of the third stringer, seriously enough, John. Which we found out about this on Monday, and it raised major alarm bells for us on top of them signing James Morgan to the practice squad, another quarterback, which you add all that up, and I'm nervous that Haskins is falling into the same trap that he did in Washington, John.
Yeah, could be. No question about it, because, I mean, he showed that immaturity and lack of hard work, and that cost him the chance, as a former first-round pick, to stay with the Washington football team. And if he's doing the same thing, then, of course, that's not good at all. Now, of course, certainly getting James Morgan is like, because we talked about this last week, they needed to slip in some kind of a quarterback just in case, mm-hmm. to have that extra quarterback, and they got him on the practice squad. And so I thought that that was the wise thing to do. But, again, that's got to be concerning because, I mean, you would think at some point, you have Mason Rudolph and you have Haskins, right? And so don't you think at some point Haskins has to show something that puts him a little bit ahead of Mason Rudolph? I know Mason got the big contract extension, a good backup number and all those different things. But that's got to be concerning with Haskins because, again, he just doesn't seem to be advancing.
Before that news about Haskins, I would have said start him against the Chargers. We've seen enough from Rudolph. Why not? Let's see what Haskins can do if Ben can't play. But if he's not taking his job seriously, then I guess you can't do that, John.
No, probably not.
With the OT rules, we had Najee Harris say this after the game.
I didn't know you could even tie in the NFL. I was in my mind, I was sitting on the bench ready, saying to myself, I got another quarter to go, but I guess somebody came to me and said, that's it. I ain't never had a tie in my life before, but first time.
Why does the NFL still have ties?
Because of it. Well, because, again, they're not going to play an extra quarter. And, again, I don't like the way the current rule is. I still think it should be back to the old way with sudden death. But, boy, everybody wanted fairness. It's like, hey, should a coin toss decide what happens in the game? And so they have to have that second possession. And so normally what ends up happening is that you have that second possession, and if there's still a tie, then you're left with like 3 or 4 minutes left, and that puts them in a position to be in a tie. I don't like ties. I still go back, 1963 when I started to go to Steeler games with my mother and all that stuff, and there was like 3 or 4 ties that year. I don't like them. But, again, I still think it should be sudden death, and it's like the first team that scores gets a chance to win. But, no, had to be fair, had to put that extra possession so that the team that didn't win the coin toss has a chance to at least drive down and see if they can score. But, again, it's still going to be a field goal game.
Why not just why not just take the college overtime and adopt that?
Oh, because it's college. I don't like that. I don't like that one whatsoever.
I agree.
Go back to the old way. Sudden death. First team that scores wins.
Do you think this is finally the end of the road for Le'Veon Bell now that he's been cut by the Ravens, John?
No, because again, he'll find something else. It's just that certainly you can see it's not a good situation for him because, again, it's like he goes to Baltimore, a team that lost 3 running backs, and he was no doubt the third of 3 running backs that they ended up signing. And so you knew once Latavius Murray was going to be healthy because he missed a couple weeks. And, of course, they have Devontae Freeman, that something could happen to Bell. But, again, it's like you have so many injuries at the running back position, so somebody's going to end up getting him on there. But I think what you're seeing is he's at the beginning of the end as far as his NFL career. Nobody wants him.
John, are we all screwed and going to be subject to Bill Belichick and Mac Jones dominating the AFC for the next 10 years? How real do you think the success they're currently having is?
No, dominating, no, but I think what you're seeing is that they're back in the playoff hunt, and you know, I still think Buffalo's the better team, but now they're back in. Mac Jones looks great. I mean, he looks the best right now of all the five first-round picks that was drafted, and so it's like you know, what you're looking at is that they're good on defense. They added a lot on the offensive side of the ball. It was a $12.5 million tight ends and two high-paid wide receivers. And so, and you know, they're decent at running backs. So overall, I mean, they're back in the playoff race, but dominate, no.
Give us a national view on the Steelers' opponent Sunday, the Chargers, because we're obviously not watching them a ton. They've been a little bit up and down this year. So someone that's probably more familiar with them and connected to them, John, give us your take on where you sit on their opponent Sunday night, the L.A. Chargers.
Well, I know at the beginning of the season, you know, when I was making my forecast, I thought they were going to be a wild card playoff team. You know, they got Justin Herbert, who's, you know, one of the best young quarterbacks in football. They've got a good defense. You know, they got some decent weapons on offense with wide receiver and all those different things. I like them. But the last couple of weeks, they've not done well in some of the close games, and that's a little disappointing. But again, we've seen so much up and down with so many teams. You know, I think now you can see that the COVID-19 is going to affect them, you know, particularly taking away two starters on defense, particularly the defensive line. I like their coach. I think that, you know, Brandon Staley looks like he's a very good young coach that's going to have a very good success record. So I like the team. They just have to perform better. Now, one of the history things with them the last couple of years is that usually, you know, they get into the fourth quarter and they can't get enough to get the games in the fourth quarter to win. But overall, I think it's a decent football team.
John, is the AFC North four good teams who are going through bumpy patches or four mediocre teams who are going to stumble and bumble to the finish line here?
No, four good teams going through some bumpy patches. Again, you know, Cincinnati, you know, maybe they got exposed a little bit here in the last couple of weeks, but you know, they're sitting here 5-4, looking pretty decent. But no, I think that they're good teams. I mean, Baltimore obviously is a very good team. Pittsburgh's a good team. I mean, you look at Cleveland. Now, Cleveland, you know, the injuries are starting to catch up to them, and along with the fact that, you know, Baker Mayfield is completely beaten up, you know, that's working against them. But no, I think it's a good division with good teams.
John Clayton, NFL Insider, one of the best to ever do it. Thank you, John.
Thank you.
Didn't he troll you last time on the way out?
Yes.
More civil with John that time.
Oh, I hit him with like a, I hit him with definitely a pointed question last time, and he had the old troll button ready, and he got me good. The good thing about being a guest on the show is if you choose to troll me, you have like at least 65 to 70% of our listeners on your side of any kind of situation like that.
Does John Clayton know that Craig Riley is now the head honcho here? Did you say, hey, John, is Craig Riley just to
you'll be
let
working
you know,
through me a lot of the time.
I'm now, I guess, technically your boss, so bring it today.
I did not get that sense.
Aren't our guests not really subject to the whims of the boss, though? They're like those seafaring islands where people want to be sovereign citizens out in the middle of the water.
Yeah, but they got to do a good job.
Well, yeah, in that sense, yes. You got to bring the goods, but you're not answerable in the way we will be to Craig, which is still terrifying.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the pitch, hit, and run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Joe Schobert said that the defense needs to take practice seriously. Is that Joe being a leader and saying something like that, or is there another level that you want to see out of your guys when you take the practice?
I have no issue with how we practice, and I'm sure Joe doesn't, and I'm sure he was just answering questions after a football game.
All right, what do we make of that? We didn't get to it. This is another one of those reheatable Tomlin Tuesday topics that we just got too bogged down on, things like Craig Riley becoming our boss yesterday, that we couldn't squeeze it in to yesterday's show.
So we put it in Tupperware, threw it in the fridge, and then popped it in the microwave.
Like you did with your Chinese food yesterday.
Yeah. It's not like I was reheating fish. I don't know
why
you
like apologized for, like, hey, I'm sorry that you have a full bottle of soy sauce, and I'm sorry that I'm using some of it. But you didn't ask. You just asked for forgiveness afterwards.
Tis better to beg forgiveness than to ask soy sauce permission.
Craig, how do you feel about this?
I don't traffic in soy sauce in any way, shape, or form, so.
Pony, you are 100% a beg forgiveness, not ask permission guy, so I don't even want to hear it out of you.
Oh, if you're asking for the approach on that front, yeah, I'm a big believer in that.
So both of you are. You are two of the biggest beg forgiveness before asking permission people I've ever met.
I think
so
the...
now a bridge too far here is about a half teaspoon of your soy sauce?
Well, I think work condiments and work foods are an interesting one. Because I think a lot of people out there know the office dynamics that are in play here.
Chris and I once had a very ugly, I think I would classify it that, maybe Chris wouldn't, but confrontation with a worker on another one of our stations over coffee creamer in a shared fridge. Do you remember that?
Is that person still here?
No.
What happened?
I don't know what happened to him. I think just like it didn't work out and they went their separate ways, but I don't know, like,
there was an accusation that you were stealing the coffee creamer?
Craig, get in my ear and tell me who it is I'm thinking.
No, I'll just tell you. Like, yeah. Wasn't his name Broadway?
Yeah, what was the nature of it? I knew he and I had a beef at some point. Chris had his fridge
in the back that we used.
And Broadway was going in there.
Yeah, Broadway was stashing his stuff in there.
We put coffee creamer in there. He put the same one in.
He was using it, that's right.
Didn't tell anybody he was using that. We thought that was our coffee creamer. Like, I thought Chris put it in, he thought I put it in, so we were using it. And he sent a nasty email?
He sent a real nasty little email, like one of those passive-aggressive emails about it, and we figured out what was happening. But yeah, Ball didn't lie there. He's not here anymore.
And Craig got promoted.
Yeah.
I was going to say, ball don't lie.
Drinking all the coffee creamer I want now.
So go back to the soy sauce, though. Clearly you had an issue with this.
I actually didn't. I didn't even remember the soy sauce was in there until you were using it and said, hey, I think this is yours. Do you mind? And I'm thinking, well, a little late to ask that question when you've already poured it all over your fried rice.
I don't think I said, do you mind? I said, sorry, I took a little bit of your soy sauce. I didn't even ask for permission. I just told you I did it. I committed the crime. You didn't even remember it was in there. How could you possibly care?
I wasn't mad or I wasn't upset. I think condiments, you can do it. I think when you get down to actual foods or drinks, it's a lot harder.
Where does coffee creamer come in?
I think coffee creamer's fine as long as you're not abusing it, like pouring.
I probably took the equivalent of like three batches of coffee from somebody. So here's what I did, though. I went and bought the exact same kind, put it back in the fridge, and put a little sign on the community fridge.
See, I would have been a complete a-hole about it and just bought like seven bottles and filled up the entire fridge with creamer and said, how do you like that, Broadway?
Yeah, I think I did. I think even at that time, I kind of knew I didn't need to rub his nose in it anymore.
Yeah.
I felt like I was going to get my revenge.
But I think foods and drinks are different.
Oh, you don't take somebody. If you there had was Chinese food in there and I was like, hey, Andrew, I had six pieces of your orange chicken, that's a different
story. If there was a six-pack of, like, Diet Coke and you just, like, took a can and were in the middle of drinking it and you said, oh, I'm sorry, was this yours? Mm-hmm. I think that's a different ball game.
I agree with that.
So, yeah, anyways, so the Tomlin leftovers, the Schobert comment. I'm going to play it again.
Yeah.
Joe Schobert said that the defense needs to take practice seriously. Is that Joe being a leader and saying something like that, or is there another level that you want to see out of your guys when you take the practice?
I have no issue with how we practice, and I'm sure Joe doesn't, and I'm sure he was just answering questions after a football game.
Ooh, that's Mike Tomlin pissed.
At who, though? Brooke for asking the question?
No, I think at Schobert for saying anything that he said. Mike Tomlin very quickly falling back on players say stuff after games when you, because I don't have an issue with the way we practice, and I'm sure Joe doesn't either, is boss speak 101. Craig, take notes. When you're mad at somebody in here and they levy a complaint, say, I have no issue with this, and I'm sure so-and-so doesn't either.
Yeah, because I'm going to say Joe Schobert definitely has a problem with it, or he wouldn't have said that, right?
Just attributing it to, well, guys say things after the game. I don't. That, you know, doesn't pass the smell test, and Tomlin's tone, as it often does, gives him away here.
Can I just, for a second, peel back the curtain on sports reporting and what we do, and sometimes the critiques about, like, sometimes sports writers and reporters will get mad at us for making mountains out of molehills and things like that. So one of the things I have seen, because I said my take on what Schobert did after what he said, we need to take practice more seriously. My opinion on that was either that's true and Mike Tomlin should be fired, or that's not true and Joe Schobert should be fired. It's one or the other. It's either the practices are complete crap and the coach has no business being a head coach anymore because it's loosey-goosey and everyone's treating it like it's recess, like you're on the playground at lunchtime, or you've got a guy that's been here for 15 minutes that's putting out a BS critique on a very successful head coach and feels comfortable enough saying that after a game, right? Mm-hmm. So that's where I came down on it. I said as much on Monday. You kind of backed me up on it and gave your own two cents on it. And I've seen a lot of Steelers media say, well, I was there. I know he said it, but it's just kind of a thing that gets said after a game. Like, he didn't really mean it that way. He said it, but it just kind of... he meant it as more of a football cliche.
We've got to tackle better. We've got to practice better. It was a football guy 101.
So my rebuttal back to that is, if now you're asking us to differentiate between when a player talks after a game, what he actually means and what he doesn't mean, if we really have to do that kind of psychoanalysis on everything that's said, then I would say to those reporters, do not include quotes or don't even ask questions after games. If we don't know, if you're saying, I'm not sure, he just said that, it doesn't mean anything. Well, if it doesn't mean anything, then don't report anything that gets said in a post-game press conference. Like, I didn't understand that. Like, people were climbing out of the woodwork to go to bat for Joe Schobert. These reporters don't know Joe Schobert. They've never been in a locker room with him before. He's gotten here since they changed the COVID protocol. Not one Steelers reporter has gotten to know this guy. So how the hell would they know if he meant it or not? You know what I mean? If it's David DeCastro or Villanueva and Starkey or Colony are like, look, I know this guy. He just said it flippantly. He didn't mean it. Okay, fine. They don't know Joe Schobert.
I don't think they're defending Joe Schobert. I think they are striking back at what they perceive to be hot take culture. I don't think Joe Schobert is the one being defended here.
He said it, not me, Chris.
I think they're going on the offensive and claiming that people like us are the ones making a mountain out of a molehill. This has nothing to do with defending Joe Schobert. This has everything to do with going after the hot take culture.
If Craig hired a new host for this station, which he might eventually... someday have to do, maybe
Pony and blank.
Maybe someone retires, you know, somebody, whatever. And that person gets here, and he's here for 2 months and says of Craig as a boss, you know, we really need to prep our shows better. We have a hard time. We need to take our air check seriously. We need to take our weekly meetings with the boss
more seriously. We need to be more professional in those meetings. Mm-hmm. Not a great look.
Yeah. Like, you're basically saying the person that supervises that or is in charge of that is dropping the ball.
Correct. I don't know. Tomlin's tone gives away to me what he thought of Joe Schobert saying what he said.
And one of the reasons why I don't think
Mike Tomlin thinks it's popcorn or it's nothing.
Well, I don't think he appreciated the comment and definitely didn't appreciate the way that it had been blasted out and amplified and it went everywhere because it is a reflection on him. I think the other thing about it that you could tell he takes it very personally and is sensitive to it is because of what you're saying. He didn't give it like one of those, huh, like, come on, guys. He didn't mean it
Joe's
that way.
Joe's just a football guy saying football things.
You know, he did not.
It wasn't folksy. The tone was, I have no issue. Joe has no issue.
Ooh, man, AFC North football.
Yeah, it wasn't that. It wasn't folksy, Mike. It was pissed off, Mike, because he knows that when practice gets questioned, he's being questioned directly whether the player meant to insinuate that he's an undisciplined coach at practice who doesn't have, you know, crisp sort of walkthroughs in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
He knows what it means. He knows how it's going to be perceived, and he's mad.
I think that Tomlin this year, for whatever reason, like, he does not have thick skin right now. The college coaching rumors in this, I think, have both, for whatever reason, bothered him. He's never going to get fired by the Steelers. He's one of the most, to steal one of his words, globally, one of the most respected head coaches in all of football.
I think locally he is far less respected than he is globally, and I think he's aware of that.
Mm-hmm.
I think he knows that people here dislike him for reasons valid and less valid, and that he's a prideful guy, and it,
no doubt,
understandably, but I think makes him mad. But I also
think
lashing out. When your team tackles like a JV high school team against the worst team in the league and you tie them, and one of the guys you brought in and immediately assigned the leadership green dot to says, we got to practice more seriously. Sorry. Like, that's a direct shot at you. Like, you're gonna get raked over the coals.
And can I tell you the first person who picked up on that comment before anybody, before me even? Hoke. I'm watching the Extra Point show. Schobert gets done talking. Papiani throws it to him, and Chris goes, wow. My biggest takeaway from that is this player just called out practice habits twice. That's not good.
I'm real interested to hear what Ryan Clark says about it in about an hour and 15 minutes. Another guy who was deadly serious about the craft and I doubt was just, you know, screwing around during practice. But see, this is the thing. You and I say it. We didn't play the game. How dare you? Chris Hoke says it. Same reaction. Same reaction. Much more valid. People don't want to hear the bad. It's who people hear the bad news from that makes them mad. Not whether or not the bad news is valid or the critique is valid. I don't want to hear it from somebody I don't like.
I'm not even really calling out fans for the way they've reacted to this quote or soundbite and then Tomlin yesterday. I'm more talking about some of the Steelers media.
I'm not calling out fans at all. It's the media that has been saying this is no big deal.
But not all of them. That's like Jeff posted that exact quote to the 93.7 The Fan Twitter page, made a big deal out of it. Pompeiani made a big deal out of it. Hoke made a big deal out of it. The two of us made a big deal out of it. I am comfortable being in that circle of people who thought that this was not a nothing comment. I am more than okay with that. You know, like if it was the two of us in, you know, behind the steel curtain who were saying it, that would be different. You know, like I'm perfectly all right with the fact that some people think that this is us like trying to have a lava hot take on something. And does Papiani strike you as someone that's trying to basically throw horse excrement against a wall?
No.
Thank you.
I mean, don't we get this, though? I'm not even going to go down the road I was about to. There's no point.
A road to nowhere?
Discretion's the better part of valor.
Do you like that sometimes, Craig, when a host kind of clips himself off? He's in danger of maybe saying something he's going to regret, and that's going to get himself
like
maybe in some hot water?
You know, the safety's off, so to speak.
I'm okay with walking up to that line, but I also know that Chris feels like at times he crosses the line, so him showing his own restraint mm-hmm. as a host, tremendous growth that you love to see.
It's going to be a long how many ever months I'm employed after you take over.
By the way, follow us on Twitter at 93.7 The Fan, driven by Jim Shorkey, Kia Wexford of Huntington Uniontown. On the heels of the big Craig news that he's now our boss, now I have a big announcement. I have a big announcement. I wanted to save it for today. I did not want to one-up Craig yesterday. When the press release came out that he was the new boss at 93.7 The Fan, I said, Andrew, even though you've got a big announcement for everyone, why don't you table it and save it for the next day?
Very generous of you. Really selfless.
Magnanimous?
Movie. Oh, benevolent even.
Craig, I didn't want to act like the Penguins and steal your day.
Still bitter about that, but I appreciate it.
Won't be forgotten, I feel like.
Most things aren't with Craig. The memory of an elephant, if not the weight of one.
Just not when it comes to historical events.
Or where basic African nations are located.
Well, someone took down my map, so don't ask any others.
Good thing they didn't make you, like, when you're becoming a U.S. citizen,
general
taking, like,
test.
A general knowledge quiz to get this job.
I'd have been rolled out right away. Mm-hmm. I know my strengths and weaknesses.
Just not your countries.
Could Rachel cite your list of strengths on the air for us?
Yeah, we have a short segment every hour.
I would say that would be a very quick segment.
I started to take medication for male pattern baldness.
Pardon me?
Yep.
Doctor prescribed actual...
Yeah. I took pictures of my hair. I sent them to an online doctor, and he sent me stuff.
When did this start?
Just now.
There's something afoot here, Craig.
No, there's not.
Push the hair back a little bit. Do you have the power alleys coming in?
I'm nervous about some expansive power alleys, yep. They're moving the fences back at Filippone Field, and I wanted to get a head start on it.
So you were taking baldness medication?
No, I haven't been. I'm starting now, is the announcement.
But anybody that's watching on the 93.7 The Fan video feed sees a full head of hair there.
No, it's about getting out in front of it.
So this is a preemptive strike.
It's a move where I'm starting to sense that some hair loss is taking place. And I want to nip it in the bud.
What does Amanda think about this?
She doesn't know.
So Amanda...
Wait, you told us before your own wife? I love that.
Yes.
Yeah, you would like that, Craig. So Amanda doesn't know, but she'll find out either hearing this segment or later tonight.
You'll text her to get me in trouble or something.
No, I'm not. Nope, phone's down.
Yeah, I don't trust you on that. You'll probably speak it into your watch on your phone the same way you looked up the Red Sox World Series titles without doing...
Once a cheater, always a cheater now.
Good point. Very good point.
Yeah.
I mean, you understand the puzzled reaction. You have two bald guys who work on this show with you. You have a full head of hair by all
accounts.
I
sent a message to...
And you are the one taking male pattern baldness
I sent
medication.
A video message to a friend, and that friend said, well, looks like some hair loss is coming in.
What? Friends cut you the deepest. They
and
really
I said,
do.
You know what?
Who's the friend here?
I'm not going to say. But that comment, I was so like Tomlin with the Schobert line.
This is a panicked overreaction by you.
No, it's not. It's the proper reaction. Get rid of it now.
You know what I find very interesting about this?
I hope this turns him into the wolf man.
What do you mean?
Like you just take this stuff and you didn't need it, and so you start growing hair all over your face too. Yeah.
You know, I was watching the sports call last night.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought to myself, honest to God, while watching it, Andrew's hair looks phenomenal tonight. I didn't pick up on...
I put more time and care into the hair
but that's
last
what
night
I was gonna
because
say.
Of what we're talking about
is
right now.
Is it because of this that you are putting more attention
Someone
on it?
Someone cut me down, just completely poleaxed me and brought me down to my knees over my hair situation that I am trying to get out in front of it.
I mean, it's smart if you're worried about it.
I don't know what to make
because
of this.
Because Amanda, here's the other thing that scares me. Amanda has said to me, I don't like you with buzzed, short hair. So that's always going to be on the back of my mind now. I can't
that
go.
Your desirability to her is at least in part connected to your hair.
I can't go the Craig Riley or Chris Mullin.
Yeah,
route.
Rachel hates, like, she only knew me as bald and has seen me in pictures with hair and hated
Did
that.
Did you have full head of hair at the time?
No, it was like short, sort of buzzed. But she said even that looked bad. So she...
Yeah, you with hair looks like store brand M&M.
Yeah, it's weird. So she's at least okay with it. You have to worry about a difference in what she married and what she would get.
And Alex is, she loves you for what's inside and not what's...
No, it's actually the same thing that Craig has said. She's seen pictures of me with hair and I've said, do you want me to grow hair? And she, before I get the, do you want me to grow my hair out finished? She goes, hell no. I look terrible with hair. It's bad hair. I got the path of least resistance
The ESPN
here.
News Chris Mueller hair.
I love that picture.
So do I.
It's not great, boys. I actually am like, losing my hair too, even though I don't have that much of it.
What do you mean?
Little like quarter size spot inexplicably on the back of my
head. That's just Chris Mueller stress right there. That's you being
just a ball
laden
of,
with stress.
Just a ball of stress at all times that's going to consume me. Oh, that's good.
Do you disagree?
No, but now I'm wondering how many other maladies that I'm suffering from are just related to being an unquenchable ball of stress.
Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevy. If anyone wants to chime in and give me any advice on this, if this is a good move or not, please feel free. Yeah. Already getting a head start on it.
I feel like this is going to go poorly.
In what way?
I just have a feeling like somehow this
the
is going to
backfire. Now it just is like you're going to take these hair.
Like it's going to somehow, you'll be the one person who takes hair loss treatments when you don't really need them and end up losing your hair more as a result.
That'd be the ultimate twist, I guess.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.